Zeal. We all have it about something. And I'm going to speak about this evening because there's a young man who worshiped with us in our last congregation named Philip Shoemake. He was a preacher intern, and he came to our congregation to learn how to become a preacher. And I can recall the first time he ever stood in front of a group of people. And the congregation's, 400 people, and he gave a Sunday night lesson, and it was about 13 minutes long. This might be a little bit longer, but from that beginning, he's written a book. From that beginning, it's called Lifelong Zeal. So tonight I'm going to be giving a book report of Philip's book. Philip Shoemake, he's a full-time evangelist today in the East End congregation somewhere in Kentucky. Not sure which particular little town he's in, but he's now married, has two great little children. He met his wife while he was with us, and it's a great story to watch somebody mature in the Lord. And this is a great example of a young man who's done that. So, and he's a very zealous young man, I would say. He's a very zealous young man, so I can certainly see why he wrote this book. But tonight, we're going to talk about zeal in this little book report. I'm going to hit some of the highlights of what Philip talked about in his book, and I would encourage you, if you ever need a good read and some good encouragement, I'd ask you to get this book from Philip Shoemake. So zeal. We're zealous about something. You know, Matthew's zealous about fantasy football. Maybe Riley was too, and maybe Sam. I'm kind of zealous about that myself sometimes. Some people are maybe zealous about football, zealous about politics, zealous about shopping, zealous about cooking, eating different kinds of food, zealous about your job. You know, you might be excited to go to work tomorrow. I am. I mean, if you're not zealous about, what you do every day, you shouldn't be doing it if you're working. But, zeal is in our lives. And we all have it at some way or another. And that's that enthusiastic devotion to a cause or to some tireless diligence or furtherance of a cause. You know, if you look at the recent election and you look at the young people that get out and work the phones, work the polls, work the streets, these big political organizations, Republican or Democrat, they recruit these young people because they have zeal for their beliefs, for their belief system. And that's a really good parallel about our walk with Christ. Are we zealous like that? Some synonyms, we all know the synonyms about zeal, eagerness, intensity, all these kind of things. So tonight I want to challenge us all to think a little bit about our zeal as Christians. However, raw enthusiasm or raw zeal in and of itself is good, but it can also be a little bit harmful unless you have it channeled just right. And I put forward these five qualities that must be present in one to have the zeal properly channeled for the Lord. If you look at 1 Peter 3, 13 through 17, it talks a little about courage, and I'll read a little bit about that. Verse 13, as a matter of fact, talks about, "And who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good?" Think about that just for a moment. If you're zealous for the Lord, and we're very lucky to live in this society, we're going to have courage. We should have courage because our Lord is with us, but most of all, also our government allows it for us to talk about our religious beliefs, whether it be in public or in private with other people. However, if you have some courage, you need to have it seasoned with some wisdom and knowledge. And if you turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 2. A little dyslexic there on that. 10 verse 2. And this is talking about a little bit about the opposite of wisdom or knowledge. It says in verse 2 of chapter 10, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge." And if you go on to verse 3, "For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God." So you got to have some knowledge or wisdom that is part of your zeal for Christ. You have to have energy. If you look in chapter 4 of the book of John, one of my most favorite books in the Bible, chapter 4, verse 34 and 35, Jesus is talking here and he says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Verse 35, "If you do not say, there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields that they are white for harvest." So in verse 34, we see that there's this food that he is talking about is to do the will of the Father who is in heaven. So, you know, energy is important. If you look for diligence, and turn to Galatians 6:9, if you look at diligence, Galatians 6:9, we're going to have a lot of scriptures tonight. If I can get my fingers going fast enough. Galatians 6 and verse 9, it talks about, here, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary." Diligence is a hard thing. To remain diligent about anything is hard, right? Back to, you know, Riley's fantasy football. She probably started off really good. She's really diligent about setting her team. But, you know, as the season wore on, maybe she wasn't doing as well as she would have hoped. So maybe her diligence kind of ebbed. On the other hand, Matthew might be the other way. Maybe he's been diligent all the way through because maybe his team was doing the best, right, in the whole league. I think that's probably pretty accurate, by the way, too. But, so diligence is a very interesting attribute because you can lose it very easily if you have one encounter that might discourage you. And I think as Christians, we have to be very mindful of our diligence in the work that we do every day. And then in Romans 12, if you go back to Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13, it talks in there about brotherly love. Verse 10, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence." Again, the word diligence. "Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer," so on and so forth, in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. So, you have to have a loving, service-oriented attitude also in your zeal for Christ. So, I'd submit that we have all those things wrapped together. Here's kind of the way I look at it. Christian zeal is the courage to exercise great wisdom, energy and diligence in loving service to God. Exercise wisdom, exercise energy, exercise diligence in serving God. That's really, I think, our challenge in front of all of us in this room this evening is how do we do that? How do we keep that going every day? It's hard. We work all day and we come home and we're tired. We have children that we're having to keep up with all day, and that makes us tired. It's just a constancy in our lives, but yet our zeal for Christ sometimes takes a back seat because these other things take priority in our lives. So let's look at about some ways to think about zeal. And if you look behind the word zeal, it's the Greek word zelos or zelos. And it has a connotation about heat or hotness to it. So I put the universal view of the fire, you know, what it takes to make a fire. I'm not sure what you call that symbol, but it's the three elements that's required to make a fire. Because zeal has that hotness to it. You have to have air, the right environment. You have to have something to ignite it, and you have something that feeds it. You have to have something that feeds it. So if you think about a campfire or a fire that you're going to cook some food, you have to prepare a place, right? You have to get rid of the debris around that so you don't catch the house on fire. You have to get something to ignite the fire. You have to arrange the firewood in just a certain way so you get air that moves through it. You got to shield it from the rain or the wind, depending on, you know, where you have the fire. You've got to be protecting it so it doesn't blow out on you before it gets started. If you're lucky, you can cook some s'mores or cook some hot dogs or cook whatever you want to. So you get to use the fire for a purpose. You can share its heat. You know, others can take advantage of the heat that is around the fire. If you run around a campfire, most of the time you kind of start in close, and then as the fire builds, you begin to work yourself back away from it, you know. But most importantly, at the end, if you don't stir the coals, what happens? Fire dissipates. The fire goes away, right? So you have to have all of these elements in place to have a fire, to have zeal. So in our Christian walk, we have the same kinds of attributes that I would submit that we need to be thinking about. We have to prepare to be zealous. Maybe we need to clear stuff out of the way. We have to ignite our zeal. Something's got to get us fired up to go. We have to continually feed ourselves so we'll fuel our zeal. At the same time, we've got to protect it. Like from the wind, we have to protect our zeal. We can't let influences come in and take it away from us. You have to use your zeal. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. Right? That's a common thing that we all have in life. Once you learn a skill, if you don't use a skill, it's gone before you know it. You can spread your zeal, and of course, you have to tend your zeal. You have to make sure that it's always maturing and growing. So let's look at these things on the right-hand side in the analogy we have of a fire versus the zeal. Let's look at those just for a minute, and then we'll conclude. Last night, some of the young people over at our house, and we had a kind of a... They asked me what I was going to talk about tonight, and I wouldn't tell them. But I did pray about it in our prayer last night before dinner, so now I'm going to challenge them after we finish here tonight. Did they remember the words in my prayer that talk specifically about zeal? So I meant to mention that at the beginning, but I forgot. So let's talk about these things one at a time. This is our formula for zeal. We have to prepare. We have to prepare. If we look at 2 Corinthians 13:5, let's look at 2 Corinthians 13:5. Turn over there. I'm sure glad they have a light up here now, because I wouldn't be able to read this before if we didn't have this light. 13:5 of 2 Corinthians. It's a verse that's familiar to all of us. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test. So, are we examining ourselves to make sure that the influences of our lives are such that we can have the proper kind of zeal? Are we able to eliminate distractions day in and day out? You know, the television or whatever it might be that comes before us. If you were to look at 2 Kings, that story there is quite interesting. I'm not going to read the verses of 4 through 25, but here's some notes about Josiah and what he took into account as he did his work. In verse 4 of 2 Kings chapter 23, he eliminated all the physical objects that were a problem. In verse 5, he rid the idolatrous priests. In verses 7 to 10, he got rid of the places where they were, the places where sin occurs. In verse 11, he destroyed horses and chariots that were used. That's quite interesting, because horses and chariots were very valuable back in that period of time. And yet, in order to get the group ready to go, he got rid of all those things that were distracting to them. In verse 12, he smashed the altars and destroyed all of that around them. And then in verses 21 to 23, he replaced those with proper practices. So that's a pretty good outline of the things that we need to be thinking about to eliminate those things that are distractions in our lives, and prepare, on the other hand, for those things that are going to help us in our zeal. If we look, secondly, at the word ignite, draw near to God. That's one of the things that we must do to have the proper kind of zeal. And there's some verses there that we'll talk about in James chapter 4, verse 8. James 4 and verse 8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands. That same idea about being prepared. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, i.e., it's the same kind of thing wrapped together. You double-minded people, be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. So, the closer we can get to God, the easier it should be for us to eliminate these things that are problems in our lives. But the closer we get to God, God gets to us. If you think about this campfire, you think about the word fire just in general, and if I were to have two candles here, and if I were to have a candle that's lit in my right hand and one that's unlit, do I have to actually, can I get both of them lit by having them far apart? No, but as I get them closer and closer together, do I actually have to touch them sometimes to get them to light? Pretty much, you got to get them right against each other for the heat to ignite that wick to start that other candle. So if you think about getting close to God, think about how close your candle is to God's Word. How close am I moving to where God is versus expecting God to move to me? That's not going to happen. We have to move to God. If you look at Romans 8, 37 through 39, it's, again, a set of scriptures that are very applicable. Romans 8, 37 to 39, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's ready for us if we're ready for Him. But we must work to ignite our zeal by being closer to God's Word every single day. And those verses, always to me in my life, those verses have been very powerful verses if you kind of think about them, because there's not any dimension here that's spoken about that is not accounted for. No dimension of life that we, as we know it, is missing from 38 and 39. Every dimension of life is still available for us for God's love to come to us. He is our protector, and before time, He is and always will be. Amen. So we have to get closer to God to ignite our zeal. All right? Fuel. If you don't have fuel on your fire, i.e. more wood to put on it, it's going to die out over time. You've got to have fuel on that fire. And if you think about fuel, it kind of goes back to a little bit of those first three things we talked about in terms of wisdom, courage, and diligence. You know, those things, if you have the proper dimensions around those three things, I would submit to you that you will have the right kind of fuel, the right kind of judgment, the right kind of attitude, the right kind of perseverance that's required for you to have enough fuel to have your zeal fed day in and day out. Colossians 4 and 5. Colossians 4 and 5. I've got to get a different Bible with thicker pages. My hands are getting so bad. 4 verse 5. Conduct yourself with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. How many times if we're at work, might we say something that we would later maybe regret? You know, it's important for us, or with our children, or at the grocery store when it's time to check out and somebody is maybe slow in front of you. And we might use some choice words by which to encourage them to move along. But especially in our work, those of us who work day in and day out, outside the home, especially in our work, do we show others our wisdom through how we speak and how we behave? People are always watching us. There was a class, I took a class a couple of weeks ago around coaching people to higher levels of performance in the job. And one of the key things that I should always remember, but sometimes I probably don't remember it as well as I should, is that every day somebody's watching you. Every day. Every day. Everything you say, someone is watching you or thinking about how you're going to respond to something. And that's a really good reminder about our wisdom and how we discharge that wisdom to other people and how people are perceiving us. It's really given me some thought. Not that I'm rambunctious in the market, in the workplace or anything like that, but I'm an aggressive guy, and sometimes I probably maybe shouldn't be as much that way. Not that I say things that I shouldn't say, because I don't do that, but it just makes you think about how you're being watched and your children, how they're watching you every single day and how you discharge your responsibilities. But fuel is something that's really, really important for us. Protect. You know, when the fire, you've got to protect it. If it's too windy, the fire's going to go out, especially early on. If it's too windy, when you got it going, it could start a different fire that maybe you don't want to have started. So you've always got to protect the fire from the elements. And the same with us. We have to protect ourselves from Satan. And these are a set of verses in Ephesians chapter 6 that are well known to all of us. I think Mike even spoke about this the other day in a lesson about be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Satan is everywhere, every day, all the time. The television shows we watch, you know, all these kinds of things are something that can have a negative influence on us, so we must protect ourselves constantly around the wiles of the devil, or else our zeal will be at risk. So protect. Are we a doer of God's word? Do we sing praises? Do we give as we should? Do we visit others as we should? Do we share the good news with others as we should? By doing those kind of things, I think sometimes it can help protect yourself, right? If you don't do those things, you can kind of lose your edge, you know, lose a little bit of your fire. So the more we can infuse ourselves with things of goodness, especially those things around the gospel of Christ, the easier it might be for some of us to withstand the devil. So I'd ask you to look at your zeal and always trying to protect your zeal. But if you protect it and never use it, that's also a problem as we think about it. So we have to use it. We have to make a difference. Matthew 5, 14 through 16 in the Sermon on the Mount, those chapters are so powerful set of teaching for all of us, but 14 through 16, chapter 5, is the light set on a hill. And if people cannot see your light every day in use, then you're probably not using zeal the right way. There is a way for you to make a difference for those around you, those you come in contact with. Use your strengths. In Romans chapter 12, go back to Romans chapter 12. I believe that's what I want to look at. Three through eight. Romans chapter 12 talks about all the gifts that we might have and dedicated service for. Through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think as you have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, individually members one of another. Then it goes and lists all these kinds of gifts that people had. What about you? What about me? What kind of gifts do I have? What kind of gifts do you have that if you're not using them, you should reconsider the strength that you have? Again, I'm just going to say this to all the people who are teaching downstairs. The strengths that you have are certainly making a difference in the works of all these children here at Teensboro, and the work the parents are doing at home is sort of making a difference with all the children downstairs. If you are an encourager, be a stronger encourager. If you can only clean the building the best you can. If you can only hold the door open for older people to come, hold the door open for other people to come. If you can lead singing, do that. If you can teach, do that. Everybody has a set of strengths that makes the body work together. So prepare, ignite, fuel, protect, use, and then spread. And if you think about our challenge there, it's, again, kind of repetitiveness, but it should focus our efforts to encourage others and to take a stand in terms of what we believe in and how we teach others and how we stimulate one another. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 talk specifically about that, those verses about stimulating one another to good deeds. 10, 24 and 25. Well, 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of your hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Encouraging one another, stimulating one another. Two really easy words for us to do. But again, you know, if we've been at work all day and we're home and we missed that, maybe somebody was sick and maybe they need a phone call, and do we really pick up the phone and call them? And this is where I admire the work of Wally and Mo, probably most noticeably, is their work of overseeing the flock. And their work is sometimes not, we don't thank them enough probably as a flock of Christians, and maybe we do, but we should thank these men because their work both is helping us spread the gospel, making the judgments of how we spread the gospel, and at the same time how we take a stand and how we teach others. Finally, you have to tend. You have to tend the fire or it goes out. You have to tend your zeal or it will go out. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. So you need to be reminded always, and that's what 2 Peter 1, 12 through 15 talks about. You have to be reminded always. And I'm getting in the habit now in my older age of, you know, putting reminders in my phone all the time of things I've got to do or I'll forget them. And people may have smartphones, or I use that word broadly, smartphones, not any brand specific, but smartphones. Some people may have a calendar on the wall. We get a bulletin every week that has people who might need encouragement. Do we call them? Do we find out what's up with them? You know, do we tend? Do we tend to each other, and do we tend our zeal? Again, the more we interact with each other, the stronger it is, I think, for our zeal to remain intact. So you think about a fire, and that word zelos, in terms of heat and whatnot, you think about those words, and how you build a fire and protect a fire, and you think about your zeal, and you do these kinds of things that I've listed on this page, in terms of preparing, getting rid of everything in your life that can distract you, igniting, becoming a better student of God's Word. If you use your wisdom and courage and diligence just right, you'll have the right kind of fuel to remain zealous day in and day out in spite of discouragement. In spite of discouragement, because that will come to us. If you can withstand the devil and all the things that are going on with the devil, you've done a good job protecting yourself. Use your strengths, right? You got to use your zeal in the right way. Use. Spread your zeal to others. Encourage other people who are maybe like-minded as you, or maybe not. Maybe have different strengths than you. Encourage them to use their strengths. And remind yourself always about protecting and keeping your zeal. So we think about that. What about you? What about me? What about tomorrow? What are we going to do tomorrow? What are we going to do Tuesday? You know? We're going to be traveling, a lot of us are going to be traveling over these next few weeks, but you know, will your zeal carry you through? James was going to be singing this evening, and he asked me the topic, and I said the word zeal, and I had looked through the songbook to see if there were songs about zeal. But some of those songs might come to your mind, but I couldn't find any of them specifically. Then I could come up with Faith is a Victory. And I don't know why I thought about that as a zeal-oriented song, but at the end of the day, it's that victory that we're all after at the end of our lives here on this earth. So I challenge all of us tonight to think about this simple subject. It's easy to forget. It's easy to gloss over it. But it's something that is important to all of us. And if we have zeal, our flock will be stronger. Our flock will be stronger. everybody participates in different ways in this congregation, and it's so encouraging to me, the level of participation of everybody here. We are a zealous people, and I'm encouraged by the zeal that so many of us have here at Tingsboro, and I would just ask you to encourage each other, encourage Mike, encourage Mo, encourage Wally, encourage the teachers downstairs to keep pushing, keep going. Protect your zeal, ignite your zeal, tend your zeal. If there's something I've said tonight that might cause you to think about your state in life, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, we have an opportunity for you to change. Maybe to rekindle your zeal if you need to. If you need the prayers of us here, we're standing by to pray for you. Maybe you've not decided yet to be a child of God. Every moment is a good moment, and you can't help but think about what happened on Friday and the brevity of life. The absolute brevity of life. I mean, it could happen tonight. We got to drive home. I hope it doesn't snow too bad. We're not used to the snow so much. You guys maybe are. But, I mean, it could happen tonight to anybody in this room. Or anyone that loves us or we love them. It could happen. So, it's been a sobering week. It's been a sobering 48 hours for everybody probably in this auditorium if you think about the tragic nature of what's happened. But if you're not a child of God, it is the time. Tonight is the time for you to make that known to others here, and we're happy to baptize you for the remission of sins. So if you would, please stand and sing and be encouraged by the song. Dennis?